The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents...
We love the
Herb. Normal Show Live, Marijuana Nation. Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator, Radical Russ Belville.
Good afternoon, tokers and tokettes, and welcome. It is Tuesday, April 12th, 2011. You got three more days to get your taxes in, and welcome. It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world, and we're so glad you could be here to celebrate with us. Joining us, of course, in the studio is our engineer, the famous Ganja John.
What's up, Russ?
Oh, man, we're having a good time. We have to get you some applause there.
Yeah, I screwed up because I was messing with the wrong...
There we go.
I was messing with the wrong button there. I was trying to fade out the music.
You're also sitting in a pit.
Am I?
There we go.
There we go.
There he is. We're in the... Oh, the flash
Russ.
Player does start over. We'll have to fix that, too.
I was so proud of that intro, too.
I know. We're trying. We're getting it all fixed up here. We're getting it all fixed up. Welcome to the show, everyone. Cannabis Carrie won't be joining us today. She is off for the day, getting ready for our trip out to Denver, Colorado. She is actually driving all of the Rolla J Studios in, packing
everything,
the whole thing up, and driving it from Portland, Oregon to Denver, Colorado. So, you know, you don't get any better than Cannabis Carrie. I'm telling you, man. That's awesome.
You guys out there better thank her, because actually she is packing it up. We're going to go to the bar.
Yeah.
We're going to let her do it all.
No. We'll help her out for sure. But I'll be bringing you your hemp headlines today, and we got plenty of stories to go over today, including some breaking news on DEA raids in Michigan. Yes, today, DEA raids in Michigan. The continuing story of this Border Patrol agent who was caught trafficking. A look at an investment banking opportunity in Colorado that got shot down by the House today with respect to medical marijuana businesses. A cruise ship passenger who was busted for pot in Bermuda, and a stupid stoner story. We actually have evidence of a violent stoner. Very interesting. Also, on today's show, we get Cannabis Cure UK. He's going to be bringing you a new tune here from Sata Spliff, Get Back Into Bed, a brand new tune. So we're debuting it here on Normal Show Live. And then at half past the hour, I was up late all last night working on my presentation for Normal National Conference. My presentation's on Thursday. It's the second thing on the agenda. It's like kind of the open presentation of Normal Conference, so I'm putting a lot of effort into this one. And I was up late last night doing some research on the DEA, you know, the Drug Employment Agency, and I think you'll be fascinated some of the things that I learned about the DEA and just how dangerous it is to be fighting the war on drugs from their point of view. You'll be really surprised what I learned there. All that and more coming up today on Normal Show Live, so please stick around. We're the voice of the marijuana nation and the anchor of the Normal Network right here, 24/7. 420 all the time. You'll catch all sorts of great shows coming up later, and we're right back after this.
You're listening to Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Normal National Conference 2011, Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd.
I'm not a crook.
When President Nixon declared war on marijuana smokers, Normal was founded by a young lawyer named Keith Strupp. And now, in our 40th year, Normal is coming of age as states begin discussing outright marijuana legalization.
Entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Join us in Denver, Colorado, the day after 420 for our 40th annual National Conference.
you'll learn about marijuana law, cannabis science, and the grassroots activism necessary to end prohibition. Set in the Mile High City, America's cannabis capital. Special guests include medical marijuana pioneer and Harvard Emeritus Dr. Lester Grinspoon, U.S. Congressman Jared Polis, and Normal founder Keith Strop. Normal National Conference 2011, coming of age in Denver, Colorado, April 21st through 23rd. It's the true Rocky Mountain High.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapists will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carry.
Cannabis Carry has the day off today. I'm Radical Russ, and we bring you news here from the Detroit Free Press. Feds raid medical marijuana facility, three other Oakland County properties. Federal agents raided at least four properties in Oakland County, Michigan this morning. U.S. Drug Enforcement Administration agents were at Caregivers of America, a medical marijuana facility in Walled Lake, a home in Commerce Township, and an office building in Novi and the Bayside Sports Group in Walled Lake. DEA Group Supervisor Andrew Eisman said sealed federal search warrants were executed at all three locations, but few other details were released. He would not say why the warrants were issued or provide more details about the investigation. He did not say if any arrests have been made and would not comment on whether the raids were connected. A neighbor who lives across the street from the home that was raided said she first saw agents at the home shortly before 7 a.m. A black convertible was also taken out of the garage and driven out before it was towed away. Another car was also taken. About 10 agents were at the home this morning with four or five cars when a Free Press reporter arrived. Calls to Caregivers of America and the Commerce Township home were not returned. A woman at the home of the Commerce Township declined to talk to a Free Press reporter. Well, business as usual at the DEA. So much for any of the promises that Barack Obama made during the campaign that we wouldn't be wasting scarce federal resources going after people in medical marijuana states who are in compliance with the law. We've seen the Hag memo, the Ogden memo, all these memos that have come back to say, no, we really didn't mean that we weren't going to bust medical marijuana facilities. We just meant we weren't going to publicize it so much. That's really what's going on here. Sealed warrants, not making arrests, the typical smash-and-grab operations. Here they're taking convertibles away, taking cars away from these places because, they might have been used to deliver medicine to patients? Is that the... Well, we don't know because the warrants are sealed. They're always sealed. They won't tell us what's going on. This is the way they want it. They want to keep it under the shadows. They want to... they know that if they get publicity for these sorts of things, that the people are against this. And now we're seeing, we had 28 raids the other last month in Montana, between Montana, California, and Nevada. Now we've got these four raids in Michigan. It is clear that the Obama administration, by supporting Michelle Leonhardt to head the DEA, was just wanting to continue more of the Bush administration tactics on going after medical marijuana facilities. Not so much that they want to get rid of medical marijuana. They just want to make sure that these businesses don't get too big and don't get too much money and don't get too much power and start fielding candidates for primaries and start donating money to political action committees. They've seen the power of the Tea Party. They're going to feel the power of the Teapot Party. In our next story, we're following up on that story of the border agent in the Arizona pot case. He's been released pending trial. This is from the Associated Press, reported on themercurynews.com. Yuma, Arizona. A federal magistrate in Yuma has allowed a U.S. Border Patrol agent to be freed without bond until his trial on marijuana smuggling charges. Assistant U.S. Attorney Luis Ull tried to convince Magistrate Jay Irwin during a hearing Monday that Agent Michael Atondo was a flight risk. Ull also said Atondo appeared to be a mole who infiltrated the Border Patrol to smuggle drugs, the Yuma Sun reported. Quote, how much more dangerous is it when the drug smuggler is a Border Patrol agent? In a town like Yuma, Arizona, where the Border Patrol is a respected federal law enforcement agency, end quote, Ull asked the magistrate. Ull said Atondo had traveled to Mexico 4 times in the past year with someone with ties to drug running, had just paid cash for a $26,000 boat, and that his wife had recently emptied all the money from their bank account. Irwin, however, was unconvinced and released the agent on his own recognizance. Quote, I don't think the defendant is going to run. If he does, it will be the most foolish thing he could do other than the crime he has been accused of, end quote, Judge Irwin said. Atondo was arrested earlier this month after two other agents reported finding 745 pounds of marijuana in his Border Patrol truck. 745 pounds in his Border Patrol truck. The truck was backed up to a border fence about 40 miles east of Yuma. Attorney John Minora, who represents Atondo, noted that his client has not been convicted. Did he stray to the dark side? We don't know, Minora said. Atondo's next court appearance is a status hearing set for Thursday in the U.S. District Court in Phoenix. Okay, just open question to my listeners out there. Let's imagine that you're busted and you've got 745 pounds of marijuana in your truck backed up to the Mexican border fence outside of Yuma, Arizona. Do you think you will be released on your own recognizance? Ah, let's follow that up. You've got 745 pounds in your truck backed up to a border fence in Yuma, Arizona, and your wife has just emptied out all the bank accounts. And you just paid cash for a $26,000 boat. Do you think you will be released on your own recognizance? Can you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth? I do not think so. This Border Patrol agent, he's got every incentive to run. We know what happens to cops when they end up going and having to do hard time in the pen. You know, if they end up getting found out in there and not treated so well. So he's got every reason. Plus, if he's so involved in the drug smuggling and a mole for the drug trafficking organizations, he's got a cush home waiting for him in Mexico. Somewhere there on the Pacific coast, courtesy of the Sinaloa cartel or one of these other cartels. So don't tell me he's not going to run and that it wouldn't be the most foolish thing he could do. What? How naive is this judge? Or perhaps is there some corruption going on here? All right, let's go to the business news here. This comes out of CB Online, CanadianBusiness.com, a story from Kristen Wyatt, reported also from the AP. The Colorado House rejects the first ever marijuana investment fund. Denver, Colorado, the nation's first proposed state-backed investment bank for the marijuana business, failed Tuesday after a fiery debate in the Colorado House. Democrats and Republicans fell on both sides of the argument over starting a fund to legitimize investment in marijuana research. The proposed Colorado Investment Trust was promoted as a way to allow pot shops to borrow money and bank. This will legitimize the business and bring them into the light of day, said Republican Representative Tom Massey, the idea's sponsor. A Republican sponsoring investment in business in marijuana. What do you know? But opponents sided with another Republican who argued that because marijuana is federally illegal and FDIC-insured banks won't accept marijuana money, Colorado would be wading into perilous legal territory if it tried to oversee marijuana-funded businesses. So the measure failed, unfortunately, but I do think this is a fantastic idea, and it does illustrate one of the problems we have as the medical marijuana and cannabis business has become more lucrative, is problems problems with banking, online transactions, all of these, you know, credit cards and large-scale clearinghouses that are all federally controlled, and they're dealing in a business that deals with something that's federally illegal. It once again points out why the battle is not won until we've legalized this at the federal level. All right, and a quick travel tip here, a report coming out of USA Today Travel, the country of Bermuda fines a cruise ship passenger $3,000 for marijuana possession. A magistrate's court in Bermuda has levied another hefty fine on a cruiser who allegedly had marijuana in his cabin, according to a local news outlet. Bermuda's Royal Gazette today reports 43-year-old Edward John Molinari of New York was ordered to pay $3,000 after admitting to possessing the drug, which is illegal in the country. The news outlet says Bermuda customs officials and police using sniffer dogs discovered the marijuana on Monday, rolled into several cigarettes in the safe in Molinari's cabin. The Royal Gazette did not name the ship on which Molinari was traveling, but the only ship scheduled to be in Bermuda on Monday was Royal Caribbean's Explorer of the Seas. Royal Gazette put the street value of the marijuana found in the cabin at $178. Well, this is something I know a little bit about. Our good friend Cousin Kenny worked on cruise ships. He was a drummer in a band on cruise ships and also a fellow traveler of the road, let's say. And yeah, they are serious about not having cannabis or any sorts of drugs, illegal drugs, on these cruise ships. And they're very, you know, international waters. The laws are quite different as far as what they can get away with searching and everything. So don't do that. Do not, you know, try to smuggle your weed onto the ship. When you get to Bermuda or Jamaica or St. Thomas, you'll be able to find some weed.
Stupid Stoner Stories.
As a public service, Normal reminds you that smoking marijuana will not make one stupid. However, some stupid people do smoke marijuana. Don't be one of those stoners that make the rest of us look bad. Learn your lesson from today's
Stupid Stoner Story.
I'm your Stupid Stoner Stories Old Time 30 Radio's correspondent, Freddie Farrakh. Almena Township, Michigan. Two men are in jail after police found nearly two dozen marijuana plants in their home. The investigation began this week when the suspect's landlord reported being assaulted by the men. Van Buren County Sheriff's deputies were then dispatched to Sandy Ridge Circle in Almena Township. After talking with the landlord, deputies went to the tenant's address and noticed several marijuana plants in a window. After getting permission to search the residence, police found 23 marijuana plants and various drug paraphernalia. Two people in the residence had outstanding warrants. Timothy Ray Terry, age 28, of Pawpaw, was arrested on a bench warrant charge. Timothy Ray Terry, age 53, of Pawpaw, was arrested on a friend-of-the-court warrant.
Okay, so now we have evidence of violent stoners, at least. Okay, Timothy Ray Terry and Timothy Ray Terry of Pawpaw. Really?
I think he might be his papa.
Were they really? Well, maybe they were born in Walla Walla. Yeah. They took a vacation to Pago Pago. I don't know. But they're in jail because they had pot plants in their window and then decided to go kick their landlord's ass. The stupidest. There's like a triple scoop of stupid here, right? You start with the scoop of going to beat up your landlord when you got plants in your house and warrants on your neck. Number two, you got the stupid of marijuana plants in the window? In the window, people? And then you got the stupid of giving them permission to search the residence. Not that they really needed it. Once they saw the marijuana plants in the window, they were cool to go in, but you gave them permission. Timothy Ray Terry and Timothy Ray Terry of Pawpaw and Pawpaw, I hope the Popo put you in the Pawpaw for just a little bit, just for the stupidity and the violence you exhibited, making the rest of us look bad. We go around all this time talking about how, you know, marijuana users are mellow and we don't cause any problems and we're not violent and irrational. And then you go do something stupid like this, stupid and criminal like this. I would really like to find out how the search turns out out on these guys' home and find that there's something else involved here, like lots of alcohol or maybe some other drug here, because I refuse to believe that our people, marijuana growers, could be this stupid. But, you know, the news is there, man. They go to beat up their landlord when they got plants and warrants in their home. Unbelievable. All right, folks, coming up a little bit later here on the Normal Network, we got some great shows coming for you. And at 3 o'clock, we're going to have one of the replays, and I got to look up which one. 3 o'clock replay coming up today will be, the Hollywood Hemptress Hour. And there's actually a new episode posted that I got loaded, so you get to hear a new Hollywood Hemptress. Normal Show Live for Cannabis Cure at 5, Mile High Normal at 6, John Doe at 7, and a Marijuana Compassion coming up at 8, or California Marijuana Report if that gets uploaded by then. Please stay tuned. Normal Network, all that replay starts at 9 as well. You can hear all the new stuff. We love having you here.
What do you think about a break, Russ?
I think it's time for a break, and don't let me forget after the tune to tell everybody the good news about Normal Conference.
Okay.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back with Cannabis Cure UK. Sat a spliff, get back into bed.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
U.S. Vienna, Malgo, broke down barrier. Herb is medicine to broke down barrier. Boost the economy and broke down barrier. It's helping other states, broke down barrier. Cannabis for legalized to broke down barrier. Join and speak your voice, broke down barrier. We gonna change the law, broke down barrier. We got to educate, broke down barrier. Yeah, this is Nayora, you know, bigging up U.S. Vienna, Mal. Working to legalize cannabis, you know, for the whole of the Virgin Islands.
USVI Normal is a non-profit organization working to legalize cannabis for the use by the industries and responsible adults. Do your part. Join USVI Normal. Register to vote. Pass the word. Voice your opinion. You can change the law. Contact us for more information at 340-244-9179. You can also visit our website at www.usvinorml.org.
Normal Show Live reminds you to never consent to a search. If you're holding and you consent, in most states you will be arrested immediately and you will go to jail. If you don't consent to a search, police may try to intimidate you by threatening to bring in drug-sniffing dogs, or try to fool you by saying things will go easier if you consent. Yeah, easier for them, sure. Stand your ground, refuse the search, and ask the officer if you're free to go. If they still detain you and eventually find your contraband, you'll be no more busted than if you had allowed the search. But by refusing the search, your attorney has a chance to win your acquittal before a judge. If you consent to the search, your attorney's hands are tied. You can find a list of Normal Legal Committee attorneys specializing in marijuana cases by visiting the Find a Lawyer link at normal.org.
It's time for your Daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Our PodSafe music is donated by freedom-loving musicians who support our goal of ending adult marijuana prohibition. Today we bring you tunes for Electric Tuesday, our segment featuring the best of modern electronic music in the genres of dance, new age, house, and electronica, brought to you by Greg in Surrey, Sussex, England, and Cannabis Cure UK. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now, here's some great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tunes.
Toker Tunes. sucking dudes and dudettes. I am indeed in high spirits and indeed bringing you Electric Tuesday for the Normal Show Live. This is the premiere of Satisfliss' newest release, and I'm sure its title is very appropriate to many a stoner listening right now. Get Back Into Bed is one hell of a chillaxing tune with the dopest drops in that trademark Satisfliss sound. You'll be hearing a lot of this on www.cannabiscure.co.uk, home of the Cannabis Cure UK weekly news podcast. This is the last Electric Tuesday before Normal Conference in Denver, Colorado on the 21st of April. I'm going to be there for 4:20, arriving on 4:19 though. It's going to be so sick and savage to see everyone hooking up with the John Doe radio show. Looking forward to meeting you, Pim. You know, I've been listening to you for a long time now. Checking in with the Mile High Normal when I'm in town too. Ganja John, Russ, Carrie, everyone in the chat. Thanks for the support. Can't wait. It's going to be amazing. Enjoy Satisfliss, but don't get back into bed. Activate. Free the herb. Enjoy.
song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing Media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Starfish Designs, makers of the original Gandalf.
I'm Radical Russ, and when I want to relax, I always have my 17-inch long original Gandalf from Starfish Designs nearby. The hand-blown borosilicate glass is strong and easy to clean, and the design is sleek and sophisticated. Starfish Designs are available from Bend, Oregon at a glass retailer near you. For locations, call 541-788-GLASS. That's 541-788-4527.
You really want to legalize marijuana? Prove it. Join Normal today at NORML.org, and your donation will help us spread the growing truth about cannabis. Free speech ain't free, you know.
Free the ganja tree, it's the healing of the nation. Free the Cali weed, good for meditation. Free the pot smokers, they're in a delight. Lighting up the chalice, they keep no malice.
Free the marijuana.
Come on, come on, come on, say,
free the marijuana.
The effects of marijuana prohibition are felt by all Americans in every walk of life, regardless of race, creed, color, religion, social status, wealth, gender, sexual orientation, or even one's use or non-use of marijuana. As the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, Normal hears the stories of these average Americans and brings them to the attention of our policymakers and our fellow citizens in this segment we call Normal Newsmakers.
All right, folks. Hey, we're going to just take this time to tell you a little bit about the Normal National Conference that's coming up here in Denver, Colorado. It's April 21st through the 23rd, but really you ought to get there April 20th. You ought to get there 420 on Wednesday because of the big Denver rallies that they have as well. But I wanted to let you know what was happening as far as our live streaming was going and all of the information we talked about over the past couple days about the possibility of a pay-per-stream option for watching the conference. That will not be happening. Normal National Conference is free on Normal Show Live, free on the Normal Network. We're going to do it free. We're going to do it live. Just like we'd always originally planned, they've decided, and by they I mean we with Normal, as we talked about it in a conference call today, we decided the best thing to do would be to offer the conference for free. You'll get to see the plenary sessions, the big things, the Denver mayoral debate featuring, and it's etched in stone now, Denver mayoral debate Thursday. It's on normal.org/conference. And I'm spelling words wrong here. I got to spell the URL correctly. I can't have that. See, this is what happens when I try to talk and type at the same time. I misspell things. It's conference. Oh, well. But anyway, the Normal National Conference, it's set in stone now that we will have Montel Williams moderating a mayoral debate between six of the candidates for mayor of Denver. So we are so excited about that. National media will be there. So we are definitely going to be representing. And we will have this banner that you see right behind us here. That's going to be behind them as they're doing the debate. So we are going to get national level coverage for our logo, Normal Show Live, Normal Daily Audio Stash. Very, very good news. Other good news that I want to get across to folks, we have got at the High Times Normal Party, confirmed now, Tough Gong Records recording artist Ziggy Marley.
Oh, God.
Ziggy Marley is going to be there doing a acoustic set for us, for those of us at the High Times Party.
Yeah.
He's going to be there signing and promoting his new comic, Marijuana Man. And I've got the graphics for this. I wanted to show you this. We got this emailed from the folks at Tough Gong today.
Let me go ahead and correct you there. It's a graphic novel. A comic book is only 32 pages.
Nerd.
Yeah, I'll nerd out on you. I don't care.
All right. A graphic novel.
Don't make me slap you.
We don't want that to happen. Here it is, the Marijuana Man graphic novel from Ziggy Marley that is available at fine
graphic novel purveyors
comic
everywhere.
Comic book stores, actually.
Oh, it's a comic book store, but it's a graphic novel you buy at.
And bookstores.
I see. So yeah. I'm the dick here for saying comic book. I see. All right. So anyway, the Marijuana Man comic will be there. Also, Ziggy Marley's new album is coming out. And here's the cover, Wild and Free from Ziggy Marley. He'll be performing some of this acoustically at the normal conference party. And we will be it'll be so cool to see that. Now, will that be streamed? Maybe. Here's the next thing that we're going to tell you all about, and that is, and I don't know, is JDR in the room? We'll just check here.
I don't know.
He's not, so we'll have to let him know. But we've also got it all arranged for John Doe Radio to be our co-streamer, co-broadcaster for the Normal National Conference. And here's the deal. Originally, I just thought, because I knew we couldn't get him in the plenary session area because we have to. There's media agreements and stuff we have, or we have to be the channels and all that, yeah. Whatever. But I was like, okay, well, we can get him in the vendor area. And this year in the vendor area, we're going to have big screen TVs there with live feed of what I'm streaming on the normal conference, right? So people out in the vending area don't miss what's going on in the main sessions and the speeches and all that, right? So have GDR and a booth out there. And again, this is all, we're doing it live here. We're going to have to confirm all this with Tim. So don't set this in stone. But if he can do it, the offer is here that not only a vending space and a, you know, live streaming booth with a hardwired internet connection for JDR in the vending area of Normal National Conference, but also covering the one of the breakout sessions, which might be the High Times Danny Danko Grow session.
Right.
And covering some of the social events, perhaps even the Ziggy Marley deal for us. I think he might bite at that.
I think so too.
I think he might think that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm crossing my fingers on it, Tim. If you want it, you know, let me know and we'll get it.
You don't
want
to do it. You just want to party.
Just want to party. I understand. But what's cool about that is, like, a lot of times, you know, I work all damn day at these normal conferences and before the damn day.
Yeah, it's usually about a 16-hour day.
Yeah, I'm up all day. So, and the thing is because I'm always broadcasting and presenting in the daytime, and then at night I also have stuff to do for these social events that we have. And so the opportunity to have someone else cover the night stuff for me, oh, I'll actually get to enjoy some of the conference, and my wife's getting to go to the conference, so this will be so great. So, Normal National Conference, it's going to be free on the net for you right here on the Normal Network. Shows will be preempted next week, of course, for Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Now, next Monday, the network will be up, but it will just be replays that are played. Well, the new shows that are on Monday would be on,
right.
But our show, obviously, will be a replay because Carrie is coming this weekend to tear down Rolla J Studios, take it all out to Denver, Colorado. So Monday will be a replay day. Tuesday will be a replay day. And then I got to pack up the laptop and fly to Denver that night. Wednesday, we hope to be streaming from the Denver 420 thing, but it's like City WiMAX, so we don't know. We will see. I got to talk to Jen, too, about borrowing that clear thing. Right. Maybe we can do a clear thing. We'll figure that out. But this is the way it goes, man, putting it all together. So we will bring in as much coverage as we can at normal.org. The player, also our Stick'em player, will be live on the Normal front page.
Excellent.
So, just like folks, mods, be warned, there may be thousands or tens of thousands of people in the room come Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. So enjoy that. It'll be on the Normal front page and, of course, at live.normal.org, stickem.com/normalshowlive. However you find us, we'll be there for free. I'm so glad we're able to do that. I don't know if anybody noticed how pained I was trying to explain, you know, the paper stream thing, because I've always wanted this to be free.
Yeah.
So I'm glad it is. I'm glad we're still free.
We're going to crash Stick'em, folks.
That's right. We're going to take a break, too. And when we come back, we're going to do a little late-night research on the Drug Employment Agency. Stay tuned.
As High Times Senior Cultivation Editor, I'm often called into the field and asked to sample or even identify exotic strains of marijuana in their natural habitat. Now, for the first time, I've compiled more than 120 of my favorite strains into this single field guide designed to fit into your pocket as you travel the world in search of your favorite plant. From Friend's Closet Grow Room to the wilds of Northern California, this single guide covers all of today's best-known strains, plus heirlooms and throwbacks, including High Times enhanced quality photos and information on each variety's genetic heritage and growing characteristics, plus my personal notes on aroma, flavor, and potency. So this is Danny Danko, author of the official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains, wishing you good times and great ganja.
The official High Times Field Guide to Marijuana Strains is available at hightimes.com and finer bookstores.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama.
It's time for legalization.
Legalization.
Yes.
We
can.
This has been a public service movement.
Let's get out of here. I have some really good weed back at the hotel.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. 40 after the hour. Oh, it's the drug war.
War on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
Yeah, the drug war. We're going to talk about the drug war and specifically the Drug Employment Agency. This is a part of my presentation that I've been making for the Normal National Conference that you'll get to see live here at Normal Show Live coming up on Thursday. This presentation will be on Thursday, and I'm going to show you some slides from the presentation, give you a little taste of what's coming up. And this is why I was up all late last night doing a whole bunch of research to verify everything on these slides. You know, and I've got it's all part of the normal big book of marijuana facts that I'm writing. It should be available this summer. My target date is Seattle Hemp Fest, so we can sell them. But these will all be available on the book as well as an electronic version. So let's get right into it. When we're talking about the Drug Employment Agency, we're talking about, of course, the DEA that was formed in 1972. So to begin our look at the data, I show the years 1972 through 2009 along the bottom and a familiar graph of the number of marijuana arrests we've had each one of those years. So as we begin on the left edge of the graph, we're in the 375,000 marijuana arrests per year range. And as we get to the right end of the graph, we're at the most current figure, 858,000 marijuana arrests in this country every year. And this graph roughly correlates with the growth of the DEA. As we look at the next slide, we get two more lines, and the blue line represents the number of employees in the DEA, and the green line represents the budget of the DEA. Now, over on the left, we've got the graph is kind of divided, so all of these scale to each other. So at the very top of the graph, we have a million marijuana arrests, 12,000 DEA employees, and a $3 billion budget. As we look up the graph here, 1972, the DEA's budget was extremely low on the green line, and by the time we get to today, the DEA's budget is $2.6 billion. They went from over 2,400 employees in 1972 to over 10,000 employees today. And when you look at these numbers, it's really pretty shocking. And another way to think of this is to think of this in the terminology they use, that it's a war on drugs. We're in a drug war. So I decided to see, over this span of time, the DEA has been fighting this drug war. How does that compare to other major American wars? Now, the chart you're about to see is post-dated to about June 17th, 2011, being that's the anniversary of the war on drugs, just to get a nice round number. And looking through the data, I decided to divide the wars up by two centuries apiece. The first two centuries of America's history, 18th and 19th, the second two centuries, the 20th and the current century, the 21st century, all combined, and then compare that to the war on drugs. And what we find is in the 18th century and 19th century, our wars ended up totaling about 22 years worth of time. The Revolutionary War,
8 years. Civil War was 4 years, and so on. You total them all up, Spanish-American War, War of 1812, Barbary Coast Wars. We're talking about 24 years of warfare between the entire 18th and 19th century, 1776 through 1900. But then when we look to the 20th and 21st century, we get a lot more war going on. Of course, we get Vietnam and World War II and Afghanistan and Iraq. And this ends up showing us that the wars are totaling about 40 years when we look at the total amount of time spent on these wars. But then as we move on to the next slide, we get the entire drug war. And the entire drug war, hard to pull this up and do this all together, the entire drug war, 40 years of drug war, we've spent as much time fighting drugs as we've fought human beings since 1900. That's just another way of looking at this data. Now, another piece that I like to add to this puzzle is a look at just how harmful it is to be fighting this drug war. And along the bottom of the graph, I decided that I would take a look at the number of police officers that are killed in this drug war. And we're going to show them as gray bars along the bottom. Each line on the graph represents three deaths. So the lines would be 3, 6, 9, 12, as far as how many police officers nationwide have died in enforcing drug laws. Not just marijuana, but enforcing drug laws. So this could be, you know, doing a controlled buy, being undercover, being shot by a drug suspect you're trying to arrest, and so forth. So when we look at that, we end up with averages here in the 1980s of about 6.5 police officers dying per year. You could not find statistics for the individual years, but I did find some averages. For the 1990s, we have an average of about 6.2 officers who are killed every year. And then when we get into the 2000s, the current time, the average is about 4.3, and for data of the last 5 years, it was 4, 5, 4, 7, and 3 officers killed enforcing the drug laws. That's nationwide, and that's 858,000 marijuana arrests and 1.6 million total drug arrests. Out of 1.6 million arrests, about 4.5 police officers get killed every year. Now, that's nothing to celebrate. We don't want anyone to die in this drug war. But it does go to show that as far as wars go, the casualty count isn't like the casualty counts in the other wars that we have talked about. Now, another item I wanted to add, because this is just police officers, this is domestic, state, and local law enforcement. What about the Drug Enforcement Administration? What about the DEA? These people that are, you know, bursting into California dispensaries in full masks and armor, and they've got the automatic weapons and the flashbang grenades. Is that level of protection necessary? How many DEA agents are dying in enforcing our drug laws? They are represented on this graph by those little black bars. If you're looking at the graph, you'll see that since 1994, there are no little black bars. Since the medical marijuana era has begun, not a single DEA agent has been killed. Now, of these DEA agents that have been killed since 1972, you can find this on the DEA's website, by the way. They have an entire page of biographies of every officer, every agent who's ever killed, and they're detailed about how they were killed. So for this graph, I only included DEA agents who were actually killed enforcing the drug laws. Because 40 agents in total have been killed since 1972, but 16 of those died in helicopter or airplane accidents, either surveying marijuana fields, opium fields, or a couple were killed in Afghanistan, 3 were killed in Afghanistan last year, but that's not enforcing drug laws like dealing with a drug suspect who tried to kill you. Another 12 officers were killed in all sorts of things like car crashes, Timothy McVeigh blowing up the Oklahoma City building killed a DEA officer. A DEA building in Miami collapsed in the 80s and killed 2 DEA agents. And in fact, when we look at 12 officers who have been killed since 1972 by drug suspects, there have been 12. Those are the black bars you're looking at there. One was killed by a marijuana trafficker. It was a Mexican marijuana trafficker, about 300 pounds of marijuana, deal gone bad, got shot and killed. So one DEA agent has died since the entire drug war, and spending $2.6 billion budget and all of those armored tanks and weapons and body armor and going in full bore and putting patients in handcuffs on their knees. One DEA agent has been killed by someone involved with marijuana in all of the DEA's history. Now, that is as many people who have been killed by marijuana traffickers as have been killed by DEA agents. This is an incredible story. As I was researching this, I found this story, and this was reported on ABC News back in 2000 on the 2020 program about a homicide within the DEA. A drug agent pleads guilty to manslaughter in his partner's death. And what had happened is the two partners had gone out drinking, and the one got very, drunk, and the other took his keys from him and was driving him home when the one who was drunk got into an alcoholic blackout rage, pulled his firearm, and shot his partner while he was driving the car. And as he wakes up, he says, "Who did I kill?" There was a crumpled government-issued car. This guy wrecked the car, drunk, alcohol, killed as many DEA agents as marijuana traffickers have killed DEA agents. Now, other ways that we can look at this graph include adding the assaults on the DEA, because, you know, we don't want to just include the killings. There's also a risk of getting injured, we could say. So let's add that to the chart as well. These teal-colored bars, these light blue bars, are representative of the assaults that have been happening on DEA agents. Now, I could only find accurate data going back to 1996. There's a website called LEOCA. It's the Law Enforcement Officers Killed and Assaulted. It's part of the FBI's Uniform Crime Report. And from that, I could find about three DEA assaults during the 1990s and 2000s, about three on average. And since 2005, less than one assault on a DEA agent per year. Zero in 2009, zero in 2006. So this is how they are justifying putting all the body armor on and coming in with the automatic weapons drawn and the flashbang grenades and the no-knock raids and shooting our pets, when this is the kind of risk they're dealing with. This is all the risk they're dealing with. Now, I thought it was only fair, if we were looking at the cops and the DEA who have been killed during this drug war, that we should look at the people like us who have been killed during this drug war. This is represented by the red bars. Those red bars represent from information compiled by Radley Balco and the researchers at the Cato Institute from a feature they call Raid Map. And they're able to, they've been tracking these DEA raids and cop raids on people that get shot, you know, because it was a wrong address or there was a mistaken identity. And it also tracks the nonviolent offenders who were killed. So people who didn't have guns, didn't try to attack the cops, but during a drug raid got killed. And you're probably noticing that those red bars are taller than the black bars and the blue bars, aren't they? Those are the nonviolent and innocent people killed during the enforcement of our drug laws in America. And another way we can look at this is to look at the map. Every one of those red spots, every one of those red pushpins on the map since 1985 is an innocent person who's been killed in this drug war during a drug raid by these heavily armored automatic weapons toting cops. Every one of those black spots is someone who was a nonviolent drug offender, someone who had maybe a little coke, maybe a little meth. Maybe they were just a pot grower who got killed. You can see that one in Las Vegas. That was the guy with the golf club. He raised the golf club. He got killed. So this is what's happening in our war on drugs, and we cannot ignore it any longer. Unfortunately, we have this bureaucracy. Again, those green and blue lines rising up the screen. 10,000 federal employees with a $2.6 billion budget. It's even more amazing when you think about what the relative risk of their job is compared to some average things we all might face. The odds of dying in a fall, just, you know, falling down stairs, falling off a wall, falling off a building, out a window, whatever, the odds of dying in a fall are 1 in 171. The odds of dying in drownings are 1 in 1,123. The odds of dying in a fire, 1,177. The odds of dying from lightning, you know, being struck by lightning, are actually 1 in 84,000. There's kind of a possibility of getting struck by lightning. The odds of being killed by a dog's bite, 120,000 to 1. The odds of being killed in an earthquake, 148,000 to 1. And the odds of being killed making a drug arrest, One in 350,000.
Wow.
One in 350,000. When you figure there's 1.6 million drug arrests in this country every year, and we looked at those these bars down here, the gray bars and the black bars, no more than 4, 5, 6, 7 officers killed in any year enforcing those drug laws. Yeah, you do the division. One out of 350,000 arrests leads to a death. In fact, you're more than twice as likely to die in an earthquake and almost as likely to die in a fireworks accident as you are likely to die as an officer enforcing our drug laws in this country. But still, when we look at this graph, it's, you know, it is a little scary in that we're looking at all these deaths and killings and money that's being used to support that and this war that's gone on for 40 years. But really, that's not a whole lot of violence. Really, you add all those bars up, even in the worst year, if you had, you know, 6 cops dying and 7 innocents dying and 2 DEA agents dying, those are the maxes, by the way, for each of those bars there. None of them get higher than 7. So 7 and 6 and 2, gee, that's 15. 15 deaths a year in a drug war, enforcing drug laws, that's not a whole lot of violence. It makes you wonder where all that violence is. And that leads us to Mexico. Like many other things that we do in America, we've exported a lot of our violence in the drug war to our country south of our border. Mexico's 2010 organized crime killings, Ciudad Juarez, the city of Juarez, across the border from El Paso, Texas, this one city had 2,738 killings last year. The entire state of California in the United States, the most populous state in the United States, the fourth largest in landmass in the United States. I think it's fourth largest. Third?
Yeah, fourth.
Thanks. California, 1,972 murders in the entire state last year. Ciudad Juarez had 38%. The city had 38% more killings, over 700 more killings than the entire state of California last year. We have exported the violence in our drug war. And this is why the drug war continues to this day. When there is so few people, relatively speaking, being directly impacted in the form of death coming to their doors compared to what we see in Mexico, and with all the money and the entrenched bureaucracy that we find in the Drug Employment Agency, this is how this war continues, is they are able to export all the worst aspects of it to the south, down there to Mexico. Here, Chihuahua State, one state in Mexico with 4,427 killings, and the shading of this map ranges from that darkest shade in Chihuahua, right south of Ciudad Juarez, to these lighter shades of brick red that indicate more than 250 murders per year in those states. As you can see, all but the southernmost and interior of Mexico and southern Baja California are all those dark shades of red. All at least 250 murders in a state per year. And this just continues to get worse and worse as time goes on. We see in the situation over here that let's see if I can get that to come up. There we go. The total number of killings here in Mexico have not changed year by year. Every month, except for 1 month, the killings have gone up. Only in November did the killings, there we go, sorry about the graphics problem there. In November of 2008, the killings were, or in 2009, the killings were less than the previous November. Other than that, these four lines are showing you how the killings have increased year after year. And finally, the number of journalists murdered, people that are trying to cover this news, has increased year after year to now 10 journalists killed in 2010 just trying to cover the drug war in Mexico. It's a scary look at all the statistics involved in the Drug Employment Agency, and it's just a part of what I'll be presenting at the Normal National Conference this April 21st, and you'll be able to see it here on Normal Show Live. We'll have it live streaming, and also we'll be making a DVD available of the entire conference with high-definition video and the live audio sound that we'll be recording through our professional system here at Rolla J Studios. So stay tuned for that. We will have that available on Normal Show Live's webpage, the Stash blog at stash.normal.org. We really look forward to putting that together for you. And that's our look at the drug war today. Thanks for joining us here at Normal Show Live. Coming up here on the Normal Network, plenty of great shows. Again, coming up at 3, we've got that Hollywood Hemptress Hour. That's coming up right after this next hour of Toker Talk Radio. Hollywood Hemptress with a new episode. Normal Show Live at 4 o'clock Pacific Time. 5 o'clock, we get Cannabis Cure UK with a new episode. Mile High Normal at 6. John Doe Radio at 7. And Marijuana Compassion and Common Sense at 8 o'clock Pacific. At 9 o'clock, the entire lineup replays. Normal Show Live, Cannabis Cure, Mile High, John Doe, Marijuana Compassion. And then you're off into the wee morning hours with replays of other shows from throughout the week. For Cannabis Carrying Ganja John and Kaliko, the intern, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us here for Normal Show Live. For those of you on the live stream, stay tuned for Toker Talk Radio. For those of you on the podcast, we'll talk to you tomorrow. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the Marijuana Nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.